Every 60 seconds, not one, but two children are trafficked. And every 30 seconds, one is forced into exploitation for the purpose of heinous acts.
Human trafficking is happening in your own backyard. It is happening to your neighbors.
Many whom we see every day in our own communities, hidden in plain sight.
You know, there's kids out there that are being bought and sold 20 times a day.
We must bring the child back to the center of our care and concern. Today, we launch Goya Cares.
Goya Cares is committed to supporting victims and overcomers of trafficking and abuse to recover, restore, reconnect, and to shine the light that will block traffic.
This is where we become the light.
God saved me. I believe that I was called to this. Perhaps He's calling you to
block traffic.
Join Goya Cares and visit blocktraffic.org.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tony.
And Julie.
With Chrissy Confessions. How are you this morning, darling?
I'm good.
You had a little bit of a rough start this morning.
Yeah, I didn't feel good last night, but you know, I'm okay. I'm just going to keep going.
Well, you always keep kind of trojering on. If there's such a word.
Yeah, you just kind of have to.
So, folks, I want to kind of jump into this because, you know, we're also filming today, so I want to kind of speed up the day a little bit so that we can get everything in. I have promised to be transparent with you guys. You know, every time I find out something regarding the Georgia Department of Revenue and the Georgia tax case and everything that's been going on with us, and I'm grateful that we have Chrissy Confessions to do that because through this podcast, so many people have come forward with information, as I've said many, many times. And without this platform, we would not be where we are today in this case. You know, we wouldn't have had the people to reach out to us that had been recording these folks within the Georgia Department of Revenue all that time. We would have never known the things that we know today, which got us to the point of being able to depose all of these folks that had their hands on anything to do with Chrissy and thought that, man, I'm going to take a celebrity down. That's going to be my claim to fame. Folks, think about it. When you get up every day, are you thinking about who you're going to take down? Because if you are, you got a miserable existence of a life. You should be getting up every day thinking, what kind of blessing can I be to the people that I run into today? But not the folks at the Georgia Department of Revenue. Now, I want to make sure, just in a recap, that you know that just about everyone, and I'm going to take the phrase from, I think it was Alex Sponseller, or maybe it was, you know, Jeff Mitchell, or maybe it was Scott Graham. You know, keep in mind, all these people said they would never be deposed. They have now been deposed, and we're still going strong. One of the people that were deposed said that the Chrisleys, Todd Chrisley, and this case has decimated the Georgia Department of Revenue as well as the Office of Special Investigations. Their statement was so many of their associates had lost their jobs, whether it being terminated or riffed or resigning or what have you. Folks, you don't resign when you're 6 months away from drawing pension unless you know you did something. Jeff Mitchell. Josh Waits did not resign. Josh Waits was fired. Scott Graham, according to his deposition, took a position with Ernst & Young. That is baffling to me, that Ernst & Young would hire someone who has been so involved in the corruption that went on within the Georgia Department of Revenue. Now, what I liked about it was that all of these people, we fully anticipated they would come in and they would lie. We knew that because you're dealing with a band of thieves and liars. But they came in and they didn't disappoint, some of them. But a lot of them gave testimony about how corrupt Josh Waits was or is. Several of them have stated on record they don't consider themselves now or ever of being friends with Josh Waits. Now, isn't that normally how it works, folks? The rats play in the rat house until a cat comes in. And when the cat comes in, they all scurry. Well, they're scurrying away from Josh Waits. And they're all saying that he's not their friend. They don't talk to him. They've only talked to him for 1 minute here and a minute there when he's reached out, you know, about building a computer that he was working on or, you know, something like that. Something just bullshit. But we did have a deposition this Monday. And I know that all of you have watched my Instagram, and you know that I will post things on there that will keep everyone abreast of what's going on. So you know that I have posted photos and statements that Katie Vancel Colvin, that she has said. And I want to make sure that everyone knows before I get into this about Katie that I am still hurt. Julie, I'm assuming you're still hurt.
Absolutely.
And we feel betrayed by the government. We feel betrayed by the folks that were hired by the government. And all of this was done. If you go and look at the Office of the Inspector General's report, they determined that Julie and I were targets due to our celebrity. Now, folks, what came out in Katie's deposition was shocking. Just when we thought it couldn't be more shocking, it was. The amount of felonies that have been committed while on Georgia taxpayers' payroll by these people is astounding. I'm making a public announcement today to every Georgia resident. If you file a state income tax in the state of Georgia, you need to have your accountants to verify everything. Because it was brought out in the deposition that tax returns were being changed at the direction of Michael Lambros and Josh Waits. Michael Lambros has been appointed as a special prosecutor or a special DA or something. We deposed him as well. You know, and he had amnesia. He claims that the only way he knew about the tax investigation into us was someone at his church told him that. Now, you're going to bust hell wide open when you hide behind God's house to cover your sin. But we wanted these people to come in and lie because now we're going to turn the evidence over that they lied under oath, and we're going to turn the information that proves that they lied under oath, and we're going to give it to the government agencies that can go after these people. But to find out that Josh Waits and Michael Lambros had people within the Georgia Department of Revenue changing people's tax returns in order to make the number bigger for them to go after. It gets better, folks. The rest of the testimony, and there were names given as to the two women who helped to cover this up with Josh, that they were basically charging taxpayers tax penalties and interest. That's okay. I mean, that's what the law says. You can do that. What you can't do is collect these taxes and these penalties and interest, zero them out in the system, and then move the money over to a slush fund. Now, according to this testimony that was given, and I am relying on the testimony because it is sworn testimony, that Josh Waits instructed individuals within the Georgia Department of Revenue to make it appear as if no penalties and interest were paid, and that money was moved to his slush fund, which was his personal piggy bank, folks. Money that the state of Georgia and the taxpayers of Georgia are not going to see. I think that the OIG's report has pretty much said that they don't believe that this money will ever be recovered. And if you go by the math, I think there was only $2 million turned over to the house, there's like $3,065,000 or something that's missing. Now, his wife, who has an Instagram, Ark Days, she's posting constantly bullshit about her husband and how ethical of a man he is and blah, blah, blah. Thou that profess too much. Now, I believe that this woman believes her husband, as most women do. But the women that I surround myself with do not fall to fools easily. And for her to think that Josh Waite's making $100,000 a year, and then you take your taxes out of that, that they can go out here and buy the things that they buy on $70,000 of expendable income, then you know. When you have, you know, I have stated this, it's now been stated in multiple depositions, it's now been stated in witness testimony, that Josh Waite's was less than faithful. Now, folks, read into that what you'd like to read into it. Now, I know that Arc Days follows me through her fake account and she checks out what I'm doing and whatever because I've been told this. You don't have to do it through a fake account, sister. Follow me. Give me that follow and see what I post because that's what you're thirsty for. You know, she gets on here with her filters. I mean, listen, nobody has got an Instagram that's got more filters on it than Arc Days. But regardless of that, the corruption that Josh Waite's has participated in or has spearheaded is beyond anything that you could make up or that a Hollywood screenwriter could write. But to find out through this sworn testimony that he invested in properties with other DOR individuals, that folks, while he was working for the Georgia Department of Revenue, they're teaming these folks, based on testimony, are teaming up saying that he, along with multiple other DOR officials, were buying properties together. Now, we know that Michael Lambros and Josh Waite's, now keep in mind, folks, Michael Lambros, he holds a Georgia bar card. He is an attorney. He is also an attorney that, I guess he's now claiming that he represented my oldest daughter, Lindsay. Because in his questions about that, he claimed attorney-client privilege. Well, you can't have attorney-client privilege if you didn't represent someone. And he claims that Lindsay reached out to him because Josh Waite's gave her the referral. Now, you know, there has been an understanding that I'm not going to talk about Lindsay. Lindsay's not going to talk about me or the family. We're keeping it off of our podcast, and that's what I intend to do, but I needed to tell you that part in context to show you how these people will lie. Michael Lambros, appointed by a judge to be a special prosecutor, owns property with the former chief of police with the Georgia Department of Revenue, Josh Waite's. Now, in his testimony, he claims that he gave Josh 40% equity in this property because of Josh's skill set of being able to renovate and remodel and so forth and so on. But yet, in his resume, he doesn't mention one thing about being a Bob Vila. He doesn't mention one damn thing about being on HGTV as a fix-it-upper. And if you look at the photos of the home that they live in, clearly no one's going to hire him to come in and fix shit up. But that's their lie. I'm going to let them run with it.
All right. So you guys know that I have started this whole education trip over again. I mean, I got through the older kids and then Chase and Savannah and Grayson. And now I have Chloe, who's in third grade. And let's face it, many kids, like Chloe, aren't thrilled by math until we connect it to things they already care about and enjoy. That's the magic of ID Tech's instructors. They make abstract concepts relatable and help students latch on to math and other STEM subjects as actual interest. Not only that, is they'll help your child fill learning gaps, explore topics not covered in school, advance quickly, and have fun doing it. Right now, ID Tech is offering a great deal. You can get started with a one-on-one tutoring lesson for just $49 or save $150 on weekly small group semesters. ID Tech is where kids and teens learn from the best. Their live instructors make learning fun with engaging courses in coding, design, game development, math, and more. They now offer a variety of math homework help options so you and your kids can stress less and celebrate more when they ace those assignments and tests. And folks, this has been a lifesaver. So go to idtech.com/Chrisley right now and use the code Chrisley to save $150 on weekly small group semesters. For a limited time, you can also get started with a one-on-one tutoring lesson for just $49. That's code Chrisley at idtech.com/Chrisley to save $150, and your child can start learning online with a live instructor right now. That's idtech.com/Chrisley.
These individuals, Josh Waits made statements to individuals that he was going to take us down. It didn't matter what it took. Didn't matter that he was doing it illegally. Didn't matter that he was breaking laws and committing felonies. He intended to do it regardless, because no one for years has ever held him accountable. Go read the Office of the Inspector General's report on Josh Waits and the Georgia Department of Revenue. It says about 60% of what we know. We know way more than what that report says. But now as these depositions keep unraveling and more information comes out, it just gets worse. Now, you know, Katie did her deposition. To my knowledge, I guess has been honest, because she swore under oath, and our attorneys asked her twice, you are under oath and you have told the truth here today, correct? And she said, yes, I have. One of our attorneys ended the deposition on our side by saying, I'd like to ask you, do you feel what has been done to our clients, Todd and Julie Chrisley, was right? And her statement, folks, was deafening. It was, no, I don't think it was right morally, and I don't think it was right legally. Folks, this is coming from Katie Colvin Vansell, who was involved in this from the top tier down. She acknowledges that Josh told her to do these things, that Josh is the one who told her to utilize the FinCEN program, which is a felony. She acknowledges that Josh is the one who ordered the GCIC pulls on me and Julie and Chase and Savannah. It was acknowledged that they were looking into my mother. My mother, 77 years old, a woman who's never done anything in her life except work in a textile factory and work 14 and 16 hours a day. But these people, because she was considered famous and they could attach their name to her, they went after her. The same as it's been alluded that if my mother or Chase or Savannah, you know, that they might be prosecuted too at some point. Well, you know, these things, that these threats that have been made, they're documented. We're going to bring them up. And the corruption of how deep this goes from government agency to government agency, and how things have been leaked and told and what have you, is baffling to me that this is actually going on in our country. The things that we have learned in these depositions, again, you know, we're in the midst of the litigation. I have a First Amendment right to post and say whatever it is that I want to post and say. It is my right to be able to utilize information that I have obtained while in the course of defending our reputation. I'm allowed to use that information and disseminate it how I see fit based on my First Amendment rights to prove that we have been set up. Now, there's a much larger picture in this whole thing. And we're going to get to that in the months to come. And the people that have colluded and lied on us and brought this stuff to where we are today, they're all going to be held accountable. They're all going to be held accountable. And the testimony that Katie Colvin Vansell gave, our attorneys believe that she was forthright and that she was being honest. At the end of the deposition, or maybe kind of about 60% into it, when Katie started, got very emotional. I'm not going to lie to you folks. It was very emotional for myself as well as Savannah, who was sitting in on this deposition. Because I hate to see anyone upset. I hate to see anyone cry. I hate to see anyone in a bad situation. But then there was that side of me that said, but wait a minute. You're crying now, but you never worried about the tears that Julie and I were shedding over being defamed throughout the world. You participated with Josh Waits. You did what he said for you to do. He instructed you to commit crimes that you did. And now you're upset, but are you upset because you knew it was wrong, or are you upset because you got caught? It still doesn't eliminate the pain and the heartache and the sleepless nights and the hours of us worrying every day of what's happening to us. How did this happen? How did it come to fruition? Why are people doing this to us? What did we do? To the point that we had to go to God and say, God, why me? And then the message was very clear. It was, why not you? I now know why it was us. It was because we have a platform that can be used to do good, to expose the corruption that's going on in the state of Georgia, to expose the corruption within the government agencies, and to use this information to help people that don't have the resources or the platform to clear their own names. I mean, it's been made perfectly clear that this was done in multiple cases. So now what we're doing is we're hiring a third party that is going to investigate, or caused to have investigated, all of the cases in the lower part of the state of Georgia, Macon, Savannah, Brunswick, all of these places that these individuals were involved in. And we're going to have them to go through everything. And we're going to find out how many of those people were forced into plea deals for fear of losing their families or their livelihoods or everything that they had, just so that Josh and, you know, could hang on to his slush fund. It is our job, our responsibility, shall I say, to do good in this world, to shed light where there's darkness, to make sure that those that can't help themselves, that we give them the assistance that they need. And we are to lift our brothers and sisters up. We are not to stomp them when they're down. And, you know, just because someone sees one part of your life, it doesn't mean they know your whole life. It truly doesn't. They see one part of you, and then all of a sudden they create everything else around that one part. But folks, what I would encourage you to understand today is that by the grace of God go you and I. And the person that you're talking about negatively today could be you tomorrow. It could be your daughter, your son, your mother, your father, your cousin, your aunts, uncles, grandparents, you know, friends that you consider family. So I would encourage you not to find comfort in someone else's pain. Because God led me to approach Katie Colvin at the end of this deposition and to tell her that I am sorry that she had to go through what she went through that day. This was on Monday. And she shook my hand and she says, and Todd, I'm sorry as well. Now, folks, I have to take that and move on with it. I can no longer wallow in self-pity over what Katie Colvin did and what she participated in and how she tried to take us down at the direction of Josh Waits. I cannot hold that in my heart any longer, because I've got to let it go and let God handle it. But Katie apologized to me, and I apologized for her having to sit there for 6 or 7 hours, whatever it was, and constantly be, it was a grueling day. And she was constantly being bombarded with question after question after question after question. And we had the answers to the questions, folks. So we knew if she was lying or if she wasn't. And if there was something that she needed assistance on, we then played a recording. Now, keep in mind, there's hundreds of hours of recordings. And unbeknownst to us, she had never heard these recordings until Monday. And it made her very emotional. And I guess, you know, I was watching, what was the thing we were watching last night with Bill Clinton?
Oh, it was just one of the documentaries.
It was one of the documentaries
of Bill and Monica.
About Bill and Monica and the blowjob shit. But it's what it is. Why are you looking at me like it? Is that not what they talked about the whole time?
Yeah, but you didn't have to say it that way.
I'm sorry, folks. The oral sex. I was watching that last night, and, you know, they've got Linda Tripp, who was the person who recorded all these conversations with Monica Lewinsky. And the other side, representing Josh, has tried to make these women that were recording the illegal goings-on within the Georgia Department of Revenue, she's tried to make them out to be the bad guy. Like, how dare they betray your confidence? These are people that you thought were your friends. I'm sure it must have been devastating to you that, you know, to find out that these people that you were having these very private conversations with, you know, betrayed you. No, they didn't betray her. No one betrayed Katie. What Katie did was wrong. It was recorded of her acknowledging the wrong by these two women who are law enforcement officers, who are post-certified, who knew of the criminal conduct that was going on and started doing, for the lack of a better term, their own investigation and started recording everything that was being said, which prompted them to reach out to us via social media. Now, but that's what attorneys will do. They'll go in and they'll make the good people out to be the bad, because that's their job. And I don't know how you make anyone be worse than Josh Waits. I mean, I had my deposition with this attorney, and, you know, and for all intents and purposes, I mean, she was lovely. I mean, she was fine. I didn't have any issues with her. But when I watch the depositions take place, and folks, I do a lot of this via Zoom. When I watch this stuff take place and I hear how we're trying to malign the witnesses that have come forward with all, now keep in mind, nothing that was recorded has been proven to be false. As a matter of fact, the evidence is overwhelming that everything that's been recorded was true, which is why the OIG did an investigation and released its findings.
All right, folks, if you could see and taste this bacon from Moinkbox, you would order it right now. And let me tell you, my family loves bacon. The problem is I can't get it cooked fast enough because they're eating it as I'm cooking it. But for now, I'm seeing it and tasting it. It's delicious, and I'm telling you, you've got to get Moinkbox.com. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon direct to your door, helping family farms become financially independent outside of big agriculture. Their animals are raised outdoors, their fish swim wild in the ocean, and Moink meat is free of antibiotics, hormones, sugar, and all the other junk you find in prepackaged in the meat aisle. Sign up at moinkbox.com/cc to get a year of bacon for free, and then pick what meats you want delivered with your first box. Change what you get each month and cancel anytime. I absolutely love the fact that we are supporting small farms, and the meat is amazing. You truly don't understand the difference in the taste and the texture and how it cooks until you try it. I can assure you, you won't be going back to the grocery store. They'll guarantee you'll say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked. Join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/cc right now, and listeners of our show, Chrisley Confessions, get free bacon for a year. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste for a limited time. That's spelled M-O-I-N-K. box.com/cc. That's moinkbox.com/cc.
But these two women that recorded all of these conversations, these women are heroes. These women are what make the this country of the United States of America. It makes us who we are. These women, keep in mind, lost their jobs because of this. Now, the state will say they were riffed, reduction in force. But we know that's not true. We also know that personnel records were altered with these two women as well as others. And we're going to depose the head of HR now. I think her name's Veronica Peoples or something. I forget her name. But we're going to depose that. But I know, Veronica, that you listen to the podcast because you've instructed other individuals. I think Scott Graham was one of the ones that you contacted and said, oh, my God, you need to listen to the podcast. Todd Christie was talking about you today. So now you're going to get your 5 minutes of fame, too, to explain how you're running HR for the for a government agency and how records don't line up. So we're going to figure that out. And these two women that were riffed were discriminated against because they would not play the corruption game. The former commissioner, David Curry, according to Katie Colvin, stated that the moment he finds out who it is that's leaking information to Todd Chrisley or his team, they will be without a job. Well, folks, within 2 weeks of the commissioner finding out who it was that was leaking the information, these two women were without a job. Now, these women are having to work two and three jobs now to keep them, to support themselves, to support their families, all because what they did that was right. You understand, without these recordings, the world would have still believed, and some do, that we did all of these bad things. Now, the ones that I care about have never questioned us, and the ones that never mattered to me are the only ones that do. So I'm going to say that I am grateful to these two women and the efforts that they put forth in recording these conversations. And then after so long, reaching out to us and telling us that they had information they thought would help us in our case. Folks, there are so much more that we are sitting on that we're going to be using in the coming year, coming months and coming first part of the year, that is going to be mind-blowing at the individuals that's involved in this whole case, the individuals that have come after us, the individuals that have lied to the government about us, the individuals that have committed crimes against us that the government is not aware of but will become aware of. The things that have been done, it's heartbreaking to know that we live in a country that this can occur in, but then it causes me to think about all of the other countries out here that this is a day-to-day occurrence. I don't believe, or rather, maybe I'm still at 53 naive. I don't believe that every government official is corrupt. But I do believe that we've got a lot of house cleaning that needs to be done within the government system. I do believe that, I know for a fact that there are government officials that have lied and have lied in sworn statements. And we're going to prove that. We have the proof. We're sitting on it. We don't have any obligation to turn it over right now. But we are going to use that information. And we look forward to the day that all of this comes out and that everyone is held accountable for what they've done to us as well as others. And let's see if those individuals are held to the same standard or the same level as what they've tried to hold us to. I mean, it's shocking, folks. And so I wanted to, again, be 100% transparent with you. I wanted to tell you everything that was going on and to make sure that you know that we will continue to do that on this podcast. So with that being said, let's move on to our first caller.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Lisa from Baltimore. I just wanted to let you guys know that I love your show. I started watching it during quarantine, and I watched through all the episodes, and now I'm watching through them over again, and I'm a recent listener to Chrisley Confessions. I wanted to know if you guys had any insights on how you picked the names for all of your children. If you wouldn't mind sharing that with us, I think they all have such beautiful names. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, Todd, do you want to know how you named Lindsay and Kyle?
You know, I remember with Lindsay, I was, because you know I'm a huge Cher fan, and I wanted to name her Chastity. And my mother had a heart attack. My mother says, oh my God, why would you do that? That's like a chastity belt for a woman. I'm like, Mama, Cher's daughters, I don't care what Cher does. That's not what I want my grandchild to be. So then I, Lindsay was, you know, I was living at the time that I found out that she was, that her mother was pregnant with her. I was living in California in a little town called Lindsay, California. And it was spelled L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. And, you know, I never had a dating relationship with her mother. It was really just a very casual thing. And when she notified me that she was pregnant, of course, I got on a plane and flew back to South Carolina. But that little town that I was living in was called Lindsay, California. And it was L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. And I, of course, you know, by now, all of you all know that I want to be different. So I changed the spelling up to L-I-N-D-S-I-E. And because I loved Brooke on Bold and the Beautiful, Brooke Forrester, who unseated Stephanie, because I loved Brooke so much, that's how Lindsay became Lindsay Brooke Chrisley. Then Kyle, you know, there was a guy that was living in Anderson, South Carolina. He was a used car salesman. And he had, I was buying a car from him, and on his desk he had a Bible. And it was written out, and his name was Kyle Hayden something. And that's where I got that name. I loved the way that that name flowed, and it was, the first time I saw it was on a Bible. And so that's how Kyle became Kyle Hayden Chrisley.
And then Chase, Chase Madison.
We named him Chase because Julie was constantly chasing me.
No, I think we just liked the name Chase. And then Madison is actually the little town where Nanny Faye grew up. I don't know if it's a town. It's more of a community. But it was called Madison. So there became Chase Madison. And then Savannah Faith. I don't even know
I see she's wanting to sit here and change that because you're ashamed of it.
I'm not ashamed of anything.
I'm going to give you two words.
Yes, Savannah was actually conceived in Savannah.
In the Tamachichi room at the Ballastone Inn.
Okay. Well, then I am so glad that you remember that.
I do, and I can give them all the details.
No, we don't need to.
Okay, because it was a wild night, folks.
Oh, my gosh, you're crazy. So Savannah was conceived in Savannah. So yes. Therefore, she became Savannah.
So she became Savannah, and I wanted to name her Faye.
Yes.
And Mama said, I hate Faye. I never even liked Faye my whole life.
Yes.
And I said, Mama, I'll name her Savannah Faye, F-A-I. I don't give a shit how you spell it. I don't like it.
That's true.
And so I named her Savannah Faith.
Yes.
So that I could always say Savannah Faye. And, which we never did.
No,
she's always been sassy. You know, Grayson kind of named her Sassy.
No, Chase.
Chase did because he couldn't say Savannah. And he still has trouble with that sometimes. But, you know, so that's where Savannah came from. And then Grayson, I forgot how we got Grayson.
I don't know how we
got Grayson. But Grayson's middle name is Miles, and he was named after my uncle.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a family name. You've got several men in your family who either first or middle name is Miles.
So we named him Grayson Miles.
Yeah, so that's it.
And
you know, Todd was always one of these, too, that he would say when we were going through names, he was like, okay, Savannah, Faith, Chrisley, do you take so-and-so? Like, he wanted to make sure that it always flowed. And I feel like people don't do that now. People have some of the weirdest names, and they don't flow with, like, their last name. Like, I feel like all of our kids' names flow good. Grayson Miles Chrisley, Savannah, Faith, Chrisley, Chase Madison Chrisley. I mean, they just all sound good together. So, yeah, so that's the take on the naming of the Chrisley children.
Yes, and I still think that I have beautiful children.
Yes, names. Savannah, I remember she came to us one time, and she was just like in elementary school, and she said, I'm so embarrassed. And I said, why are you embarrassed? She said, well, we had to find a person either in history or just some kind of famous person that shares our name. The only people whose name is Savannah are porn stars.
I remember that in school.
She's
when she
like,
was
this
crying.
Is embarrassing. I go to a Christian school and I can't even find another Savannah that's not a porn star.
I said, well, then read the Bible to them in an erotic fashion.
Oh, my gosh.
Keep it moving.
The media is calling it the Great Resignation. I actually just saw something on the news and was talking to a friend about this that said the last part of this year, people are resigning from their jobs. They're changing up, just, you know, going for better opportunities. And according to this, top talent are leaving jobs in droves for better companies. So how do you take advantage of it? With a hiring partner that'll help you attract the best people you need, Indeed. Indeed is a hiring partner that gets you what you really want, a short list of quality candidates as fast as possible, because you can do it all. Attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. Don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed can help you hire the right people right now. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process, so you can find talent with the skills you need through tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description, and you can even invite them to apply right away. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/CC. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/CC. That's Indeed.com/CC. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. My name is Heather, and I'm calling from Texas. I just wanted to say that I have been watching y'all's show since the beginning. I've even watched reruns over and over just because I can't get enough. I finished the reruns and then realized that Chase and Savannah had a show, so I decided to watch that, and I loved it. I am new to the podcast, but I've been listening to, you know, previous recordings and new ones. I regularly say that when I grow up, I want to be like Nanny Faye. She is goals. I'm 30, so still growing up. But I really don't have a question. I just wanted to say that I love watching the show, and y'all are really good, you know, in keeping things real, and I think I admire that the most. And it's really been good listening to the show because it's really made me want to get back into my relationship with God and, you know, just finding that part of me again, because I feel like at this time I really, really need to. Sorry, getting choked up. But thank you guys, and I love you guys so much.
Well, thank you so much for your kind words, and I'm glad that you found growing up. I think so many people have found growing up this past season, which has been a huge blessing. And I'm so glad that you have found the positives from our show, because that truly is, I think, the reason that we do what we do. It is to try and be as transparent and as real as we possibly can. And then to let you know that, you know what, it's okay to have a bad day. And to also know that we wouldn't be where we are without our relationship with God.
And I want to say that on everything that you said, it's greatly appreciated. But the thing that moves me the most is when you said that this podcast has helped you recommit to your relationship with God. You know, listen, I say every day that Christians are, you know, that we become our own worst enemy because we, you know, we sometimes forget that the greatest testimony someone will ever see could be us. And I want to be that good testimony. Now, I do lose my I do lose my temper at times, and I do get aggravated with people.
And
that
you do say some things you probably shouldn't say, yes. And you're a little crass and a little crude.
But God loves me.
He does, but you're still working on that part.
Yes. That's why I have a T-shirt that says, I love Jesus and I love to cuss. But, you know, I want you to know that especially since 2012 when Julie was diagnosed with breast cancer is when I truly recommitted my life to my Lord and Savior. And from that time up until this day, right now as I speak to you, I feel God's presence in my life every day, all day. I feel Him sometimes so strongly that it's almost like a physical touch. And I've explained that to you, Julie, or I've tried to.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say to you is that don't pray for God to take care of something. Pray that God steps into something with you. Don't pray that God takes a problem away from you. Pray that God steps into that problem. Welcome Him into your problems, just like you welcome Him into all of the glory that He gives you. Ask God to step into your life and to step into your problem. And when you do that, I can tell you that it makes a difference. I share that with Chase. I share that with all of my kids and are the ones that I talk to. You know, and I can tell you that who I am today is not who I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or 20 years ago. I think I'm much, much better. And, you know, Savannah and my kids have said, you know, to their significant others that, you know, you love my dad now, but my dad today is not as tough as he was when we were growing up. How many times have you heard him say that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't, you know, could I have done some things differently in raising my children? I think we all, if we had our time to go back, would do some things differently. I think the biggest thing that I would do differently is I would have listened more. Rather than me jumping in and saying, I've got this. You don't know what you're talking about. You're only 11 years old. When I look back now, I think to myself, but that 11-year-old really had something to say. And because you felt like you could handle everything, you didn't stop to listen to the 11-year-old or the 12-year-old or the 14-year-old. And I do listen a lot more to them now, and I listen a lot more. I've always listened to Grayson very intently. But unfortunately, the first four had to suffer through my non-listening skills in order for Grayson to get to a place to where I'm much better at listening. You know, I had a great conversation this past week with, you know, with my son Kyle, and to listen to his recollection of certain facts in his life, caused me to sit there and think, wow, I couldn't be more proud of this young man who's clean for the first time in a long time and has been for a while, at his honesty and his candor and his directive, you know, and his directness, and how he's no longer willing to sit back and let someone else determine his destiny, how he's not going to live by someone else's truth. He's going to live by his truth. He's apologized for the things that he's done and the sins that he's committed. And those things that he's apologized to or that he's apologized for, he's made right with his Lord and Savior. And when I hear him say, I believe now that anything is possible through God. And folks, when he said that to me, I literally started crying sitting at the table because I knew that God was working within my family. So what I want you to know is that God never takes a day off. God's working all the time. And God's working for our good. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to lead a good, wholesome, clean life. He wants us to be, you know, to love our neighbors. He wants us to love the person that's living under the bridge that has nowhere to go. He wants us to feed the hungry. He wants us to bathe and clothe the children that are not being bathed and clothed. He wants us to give shelter to those that have no shelter. God wants us to be good. And folks, I'm working every day of my life to be better at being good, because I don't want to die just being good. I want to die knowing that I've been great. So I hope that that helps you. And I can't tell you again how proud I am. You've made my day. You've set the tone of my day to let me know that none of the fluff of the shows and the podcast and all of that and the things that I say, the thing that resonated with you most was that it steered you back to God. That has made my day. So for that, I thank you. Good luck to you and God bless you. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. My name is Caroline, and I'm calling from Lexington, South Carolina, but I'm originally from Puerto Rico. I'm a fan of you guys. I love your show, your podcast. You really inspire me and give me a lot of life advice that I need to hear. My question is, I recently just went through a breakup that I wasn't expecting. I've been with this person for 4 years, and during that relationship, he cheated on me multiple times, and I forgave every time. And out of nowhere, we were doing okay, I thought, and he just broke up with me. So now I have to figure out my life to move out of his house. And I have two girls. One of them is his child as well, so we're going to have to learn how to co-parent. So I was just wondering if you can give me advice on learning how to move on from a relationship that brought you a lot of trauma, and how to co-parent successfully when both of us have different views in parenting and other stuff. Again, I appreciate you guys and everything you do, your advice. I really look up to you, and I hope that I can find someone in the future and have a relationship the way you guys do. Again, I love you guys, and have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, you can actually attest to this better than I. I was just going to say that I think anytime you come out of a relationship, you have to work on yourself. You have to figure out what caused that relationship to fail. You have to accept your part in it, because I don't believe there's ever one person that is completely to blame. I think you have to heal from that. And then I think that you have to make sure that your child and their best interest is first and foremost. I think you have to put aside your hurt, your anger, your resentment, all those emotions that come into play. I think you have to put those aside and truly put what is best for your child, their best interest. And I think that's the only way that co-parenting can be effective and the least damaging to your child.
Well, you kind of watched it on the sidelines, but you were involved in it every day.
Right.
Regarding my two oldest. I can't give you any advice on how to effectively co-parent, because I was not able to effectively co-parent. So I feel like me giving you advice on that is somewhat hypocritical. I failed at co-parenting because I had no one on the other side that was willing to co-parent. And that ultimately hurt and damaged my two oldest children to a level that is, I don't know that it will ever fully be repaired. I think that when you have two people that can place the child first and foremost, then you stand the best opportunity of being able to co-parent effectively. the woman who gave birth to my two oldest children was more consumed with keeping me and holding on to me and making sure that I was still with her, or that there was a chance of her being able to get me back, that's all she could focus on. I was so happy and thrilled that God had brought Julie into my life. It was the first time I'd ever been in love with a woman. And the feeling of that was so, the feeling of falling in love truly for the first time was so overwhelming to me that I didn't want anything other than that and Lindsay and Kyle. I mean, I think, Julie, you can attest to that because, I mean, I said to you, I didn't want more children.
Mm-hmm.
That I had all I needed. I had Lindsay and Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my mother who said, "You, to me, you have no right to deny her her own child." And henceforth, we had Chase.
And Savannah.
And Savannah. And Grayson. I guess she took the word of my mother seriously. But, you know, I think that I was so in love and had never felt that before and was so grateful to God that he had brought that to me. And I had Lindsay and Kyle, who I had worshipped since the day they were born. I mean, even before they were born, I loved them.
So, you all know that we love getting away as much as possible. And being a bit prone to accidents, it got me thinking, what if one of us got injured on a trip and needed emergency help far from home? Well, that's how I found out about AirMedCare Network's Fly You Home membership. If you get hurt or sick and are hospitalized more than 150 nautical miles from home, they'll transport you to a hospital of your choice in a medically equipped private aircraft, and you won't have to pay a dime out of pocket for it. They've also completed more than 18,000 missions and have over 30 years of experience, so you can expect industry-leading care while recovering. Now, I know what you're thinking, that it must be expensive, but it's as cheap as $134 a year for your entire household. And if you use the code CONFESS, they'll give you up to a $60 gift card when you join. For all of you, like us, who love going places, I can't recommend enough the peace of mind you feel with an AMCN Fly You Home membership. Just visit AirMedCareNetwork.com/confess today and get up to a $60 gift card with code CONFESS. Again, that's AirMedCareNetwork.com/confess and use the code CONFESS. When do you need a sensible snack? Are you snacking sensible? Have you been looking for a sensible snack your whole family will love? Well, I've found it. Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Straws are a deliciously crunchy, better-for-you snack that the whole family will love. Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Straws have a flavor for every taste, like fiery, spicy, screaming hot, or tangy, zesty ranch. And they just launched two new flavors, barbecue and sour cream and onion. And these two are favorites in my house. Sensible Portion Garden Veggie Straws have a light and airy texture with 30% less fat than leading potato chips. So you can snack both sensible and delicious. Perfect on-the-go snacks for kids to take back to school. You all know we're back to school now. Sensible Portions has also just come out with a new product, Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Puffs, which are baked and never fried, the perfect poppable snack, and they come in three delicious flavors, white cheddar, sour cream and onion, and screaming hot. Head over to Amazon.com/Sensible Portions to try Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Straws and new Garden Veggie Puffs.
I think that I felt that because I was so happy and for the first time so content and so fulfilled that I assumed that my children were. And regardless of how bad of a mother their biological mother is, because Julie is their mother, Julie raised them. But regardless of how bad she was as a wife, she was really worse as a mother. And I felt like that I'll just keep my kids. I'll deal with them. I'll do whatever needs to be done. and make sure that I provide for them the right way, and I give them a nice home, and I make sure they have the best schools, and I keep them dressed perfectly. And folks, I realize now that really all of that doesn't, yes, it matters, but it's not the most important to a child. And I have learned so much since I think I started learning in 2012. And then I think through all of the heartache that I have had to endure since then has been my education in being the right kind of parent and being the right kind of husband and friend and coworker and what have you. But I truly believe that we need to, as parents, to listen more and rather not bestow what we believe is the infinite wisdom that we've garnered over all of these years onto our children as much as hearing how they perceive it and then giving them a response based on their perception of where they are at that present time. I have great conversations with Kyle. You know, he is evolving every day, and I'm grateful to God for that. You know, I love all of my children. I don't love any of my children more than I love the other one. I like some better on certain days. But as far as loving them, I love all of my children the same. Now, I know that some don't feel that. And, you know, ultimately, that shoulders on me too, because I think that, you know, when I look at all five of my kids, Lindsay was always like the perfect child. I mean, you've even said that, Julie, many times, that she was the easiest child we raised. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't have to worry about her. And so I think that because I didn't have to worry about her, and she wasn't showing out in school, and she wasn't making bad grades, and, you know, she did everything that I asked her to do, I think that I never really realized that just because she wasn't acting out didn't mean that she wasn't hurting.
So true.
And then with Kyle acted out so much in his adolescent years that it was very clear to me that he was hurting. So then my thing was, oh my God, I've got to get him to a child psychologist. I've got to figure out how to explain why their mother's not involved, why she doesn't show up on her scheduled visitations, why she doesn't help support them. I got to figure all of this out. So then we started therapy. But a child can only be... therapy is a heavy thing for a child. And unless you find the right one, I don't know that it ever works. And I don't know that therapy ever worked for Kyle. And God knows that we spent a fortune on going from one therapist to the next. And, you know, I look at Chase. You know, Chase was always great in sports. You know, he was very charismatic, had a great personality, God knows, because I was in the principal's office quite often about, you know, him wanting to be the social butterfly, talk during class, send inappropriate text messages to girls, talking about threesomes when he's a sophomore in high school. You know, had to deal with that. Savannah, I never had to go to school about, because Savannah really was a lot like Lindsay in that regard, of like being good in school, being great with her grades, always being, you know, it would worry her if she left that house and she didn't have her homework finished. Now, granted, Harvey did it half the time, you know, probably 90% of the time he did it. I say that my father-in-law went through all of the years of first grade to 12th grade. He's done it four times more. So Harvey went to high school. He went to elementary, middle, and high school five times. And, you know, without him, I don't know. I wasn't sitting at a table with them doing homework. That was my father-in-law that was sitting there doing that. And I'm grateful to God every day that he did it. But, you know, he helped him cheat, basically. You know, this is a man of God, and he's helping his grandkids cheat.
He's just helping them along.
Yeah, he's nudging them in the right direction.
But with that being said, I think each situation is so different when you try to co-parent.
Yes.
And every relationship is so different.
Because we have some friends that have co-parented extremely successful.
Right.
They've maintained friendships. They've maintained, mm-hmm. they've remarried. Their spouses are friends. Mm-hmm. You know, they do great with these kids. I personally was not able to succeed at that.
Right. So I guess our advice to you is, you know, do the very best you can do. Always make sure that your child is the most important, the first and the foremost thing. And also take care of yourself. Heal yourself. Be good with you. Don't jump into another relationship until you are good with you. So best of luck with that. And with that being said, we are out of time.
We're out of time. So folks, thank you all again each week for tuning in to Chrissy Confessions and to Chrissy Knows Best. We've got a new time on Thursday this week. I think it's at 8:30, not 9:30. And you guys tune in. There's a new show that's airing, and they normally like to use our show as a lead-in for these new shows to see if you'll love them as good as you love us. And, you know, I want you to give them a chance and kind of let me know what your thoughts are on these new shows that we're the lead in for. So, again, thank you all, each and every one of you, for giving us the platform that we share today. And until next week, good luck and God bless.
Hi, everyone. It's Heather Dubrow telling you to check out Heather Dubrow's World on Podcast One. Every week, we discuss the hippest, hottest, newest trends in health, wellness, parenting, style, and so much more, including all things housewives and botched. Download new episodes of Heather Dubrow's World on Thursdays and Fridays on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music.